everybody, welcome back to another episode of Built Like This podcast. I'm your host Maxine on episode 302. Hi. Okay, thank you so much for listening and tuning in. I want to start off with my gratitude because shout out to y'all with the comments, the feedback, the subscriptions. Oh, I'm so grateful. I am so grateful. Someone just commented recently talking about they were so encouraged with what I said on a recent episode. I think it was the one on my 300th episode. So two episodes ago, because I was talking about, you know, whenever I record and release it to you all, I forget. And I just kind of go off riffing, as comedians say. So some topics aren't necessarily planned. It just kind of goes with what I'm feeling with in the moment. And I do want to kind of apologize, but kind of not apologize, because I noticed some of you guys were saying, we're here for the Jay-Z mess. What's going on with Jay-Z? He cheated on Beyonce. Just wait. Just hold on. I get it, though. Sometimes I could be impatient, too, when I'm listening to my roster of podcasts and the topic that I'm really here for is not being talked about until the 45-minute mark. That is annoying. But, I mean, it's a podcast. So, anyway, I hear you. I receive your feedback, and I appreciate the respectful suggestion that was said in the comments. So that was kind. I received that. What I do want to do, I know this is like podcast talk, but I guess I'll just implement timestamps, and don't guarantee me on that, but that's something that I'm thinking about doing. I've done it. I've tested it out with one or two other episodes. And that was pretty cool. I got AI to do it. Shout out to AI. So I may do that more frequently or regularly, actually. So look forward to that if it's not already there right now. Let's get into these topics. Okay, so let's talk about Haiti, because what is going on? It's always every 4 years, every 3 years, every other winter, something going on, some civil unrest. At this point, I don't want to say become desensitized to it, but on some level I am, because it's always something. And, you know, for those who may not know, I am of Haitian descent. I'm Haitian American. That's really how I identify, but I wasn't born there. My parents were born there, and but I was born in America. Anyway, I grew up in a Haitian household, and, you know, Haitian food, music, all that jazz. And I know how to cook some good Haitian food. Hello. The point is, I do feel a level of discomfort and cringe, might I say, whenever Haiti comes up in any conversation, because of course there are the jokes that people like to say, you know, oh, poor country, dirty country, HBO. I remember growing up in Boston, HBO was the insult that many Haitians received. And that stood for Haitian body odor. Like, there was just so many things that, you know, one has direct experience of for being Haitian. And I'm sure, obviously, with Africans, with Jamaicans, and whomever else, every specific ethnic group experience a level of ignorance and jokes, I guess. So, you know, you grow up, you get over it, and you get older, whatever. No big deal. But what makes me uncomfortable about the topic of Haiti in conversations is the lack of education that some people have because of the propaganda of Haiti shown in the media, in America's media of Haiti. You know, if you don't do your own research about Haiti, you wouldn't know how rich of a country it once was, at least, and how valuable it still is today. And I say that because you have Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, who vowed to give, what is it, like $2 billion to Haiti during the time of that horrendous earthquake that took place and took many lives. they made it seem like they were not even made it seem, they said that they were going to give all the donations and give their money and or whatever. And I guess they actually created like a direct line to raise funds, and come to find out none of those funds actually went to the Haitians of that land, and seemingly it went directly to the Clintons. So you have people unaware of that very well-known fact because of the media's portrayal of Haiti. So I say all this to say, a lot of us are not as well educated on what's really going on. Instead, we just know, oh, there's always some level of civil unrest. There's always something going on. There's gang violence, and you shouldn't visit Haiti. Haiti's so poor. And, you know, contrary to popular belief, Haiti is actually a beautiful country. And there are plenty of parts in Haiti in which it is safe, it is beautiful, it is a vacation area, it's a vacation resort. And it's unfortunate that we need to have a Conan O'Brien or, you know, some of those whites who I've seen online who talked about Haiti and say, Haiti is a beautiful place. And there's an actual shirt that they wore in some type of photo of them promoting Haiti to be an actual beautiful place, the beautiful place that it is. And it's like, okay, yes, it is a beautiful place, but it's just so unfortunate that we have to take the word from this white man who is not Haitian. And I made that distinction because there are white people who are Haitian. I know that's an interesting fact, but they are. I know a few. So anyway, but you know, there's just that propaganda and the instant response of, oof, you want to go to Haiti? You know, when right next to Haiti is what? The DR. And many of us have visited the DR, and it's like that because of just the distinction or just the level of, oh, I'm going to distance myself from this other country and you should visit us. And DR is painted as this welcoming vacation spot. As for Haiti, it's not like that, even though it is, even though you can vacation there. People have vacationed there many a times in recent years. It's not like it's only a thing of the past. But again, that propaganda makes you afraid to do so. Haiti is on my bucket list to go visit. The last time I've been there, I was super, super young, so I don't have much recollection, but eventually I would like to visit Haiti. And it's just, at what point can I go? And I know I'm saying all this thing, you know, all these things talking about, well, it's the propaganda. I mean, there is actual propaganda and there is actual strife and unrest happening at this current time. And it actually happened previously, not too long ago. I remember when I went to the DR on my own as a solo trip in 2017 or 2018. I was like, oh, you know, I should go to Haiti next. And my parents was like, no, because of what they were hearing was going on in Haiti. So, you know, you have 2018 to now 2024, and it's just like back to back, there's always something going on that would make the masses feel uncomfortable to go visit and check out the land and, you know, vacation there. So this brings me to the topic of what's happening right now in Haiti. So there's this gang leader who is actually a former cop, which is quite interesting. I find it quite interesting because he probably didn't think that he'll become a gang leader. I mean, I guess he's not really changing, right? Because a cop is a part of a gang anyway. But, you know, a good cop, bad cop type of thing, or what's socially acceptable. Nonetheless, he was a cop, and now he's a gang leader, a notorious one. His name is Jimmy, aka Barbecue Scherzer. And the name Barbecue, the nickname Barbecue, comes from interesting fact. How did I find that out? So he said that his mother used to sell fried chicken in particular, on the streets to help support him and their family during the time when they were impoverished. So barbecue comes from that. Before I knew that little fun fact, I think like everyone else, I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, he barbecues niggas, you know, like if you get on his bad side, he will barbecue you. And maybe he's a cannibalist, you know, that's what I was going with. And I think I actually heard a rumor about that. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe that is still kind of true. I don't know. I want no problems. Anyway, he is the gang leader that is responsible for the prime minister of Haiti named Ariel Henry. He is responsible for his resignation. So Ariel Henry has recently resigned from his role as prime minister because of the overwhelming pressure that barbecue has created with his gangs and just the danger that he planned on ensuing more of in the country if Ariel Henry did not step down. Now, this makes me wonder a couple of things. It makes me wonder what was so bad about this prime minister, Ariel Henry, that barbecue needed to set this strong threat, not even threat, a promise, I should say. And two, I wonder how long it took for Ariel Henry to realize that he was dead ass. You know, because it felt like I heard the news of him, of barbecue giving out that threat. And then shortly thereafter, Ariel Henry was like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and step down. So I don't know. It's a lot going on. I've heard many stories of different prime ministers and just people in political positions overall in Haiti have been corrupted through and through. They haven't given resources to the people of the land. They haven't really heard their cry. And Haiti is known for being this revolutionary country. You know, obviously we are the first Black Republic who gained our independence. And the quote unquote conspiracy of that is ever since then, we've been paying for it. Meaning France has billed us this ridiculous amount of money or just of a cost for us to be indebted to. And that leaves us continuously in debt, leaving the people on the land having limited resources because the money is going towards their debt repayment plan to France. And, you know, the history just continues. And you also have the infiltration of the U.S. coming into the land, making it seem like they were here to help the country and, you know, feed the poor kids and provide Christian education and make sure you believe in Catholicism type of education. On the surface, it presents this well-to-do, well-intended pursuit, right? Oh, I'm coming into this land and showing you who Christ is, right? I mean, but no, it's really colonization at its finest. But come to find out, for so many years during that infiltration from the U.S., Haiti was, the Haitian people of the land were being raped, were being traumatized, were being just continuously brutalized by the very hands of these quote unquote white saviors for so long. So Haiti is known for showing up and showing out and saying, this is not right. I'm using my voice. I'm not afraid. And look, I would say hats off, right? Hats off. I can't even be upset with that because the energy still remains. The resilience in this country, in Haiti, is astounding to me. It really is. And I find so much inspiration in that. Honestly, like, I think like the only acceptable response to this situation in Haiti is to feel sad and to feel so hopeless. And why can't my country ever get it together? And it's like, I get that is the easy response to this. But I think ultimately, if we look at it from the standpoint of, no, these gangs were created for the purpose of calling out the corruption in this country and holding people accountable. And if you don't do what is right, what is just for the people, allowing us to have necessary resources and just effective plans for us to thrive in this land, yeah, we're going to burn this shit down. And look, I don't necessarily condone violence or just encourage others to be violent first. Not, you know, but I think violence sometimes is the answer. I'm sorry. And I hate to say that, but what else can we expect? I would hate for Haiti to become a country that's docile, to become a country that just shut up and dribble. That's just not the essence of Haiti. And so ever since 1804, we've been this way. And I mean, maybe it's to our detriment. I don't know. If you look at just the surface of things and you want to judge it off that, then that's on you. But I think this speaks to the character of the people there. And for us to look at Barbecue, the gang leader, as not just this like notorious figure in a bad sense, but someone who is leading for the people. He is apparently speaking for the common people of the land. And honestly, this is just how all gangs are for the most part. Yes, in gangs, look at me supporting gang. maybe Big Meat should leave. Maybe Larry Hoover should get another chance in regular life. Oh, Lord. I think it's true. I do think it's true. And maybe I'm biased here, but I think ultimately it's about speaking up for those who can't speak for themselves. And in this case with Haiti, you have this gang leader, Barbecue, who is doing just that. And sure, there may be lives taken, but maybe those lives that are being taken are because of the consistent corruption that those lives have done to the people. Maybe that's the reason behind that, right? So what I'm saying is, maybe it's all for a reason to ensure justice is had. Anyway, that's my political segment. Oh, Lord, I was nervous about that topic. And I know I'm Haitian, but like still, I want to make sure I'm saying everything as best as I can. And if you choose to still not agree with me, that's totally fine. But let's be respectful. But yeah, I mean, I kind of support it. I do kind of support. This is Instagram follower. This is Instagram profile that I follow. And she's a Haitian woman. She's like, you know, showing her sadness about it and like not crying on camera, but like definitely showing that she's sad and she wants to just like be sad about it. And someone responded and said, why don't you talk about solutions? Like, why don't you talk about, I guess, the positives that could come out of this, or some lemonade that you can make from this lemon? And I mean, look, I kind of feel that person. I kind of feel what that commenter said, because, you coming on here continuously promoting this sad ass news, I just don't support it. I don't. Because she's like talking about she's crying. She won't rest until everyone in her family is alive and well. And it's like, but your family's good though. Like, am I insensitive? Like, what's going on? Your family's fine. She hasn't said at least anything about her family being not fine. But the way that she was talking was as if these gangs were coming into regular civilians' homes. I think, honestly, they're probably only terrorizing the people in charge. Not your mama. Is your mama in the political house? Like, is she of that stature? Then maybe it's like, I don't know. Did she do something corrupted? Did she do something that she shouldn't have done? You know, a spade is a spade is a spade is a spade. But this whole, like, I'm so sad. Like, why? I want to understand. So, I mean, I don't know. It was just like this instant. Sorry, I'm drinking some water. This instant response of being sad and overwhelmingly sad. Like, ma'am. I think she was just trying to show the acceptable response to this rather than a response like mine. But hey, this is built like this podcast. A podcast where I give politically incorrect news and opinions on everything. So there you have it. Where is Kate Middleton? I've been looking for her. Do you know where she is? What is she? Is she on the? Hold on. Let me check if she's under the table. Hold on. Is she behind my door? Is she at my door? Did she move to Houston, Texas? Where is Kate Middleton? Child. Okay, let's talk about this. So, I haven't given this much attention until it came to my attention. So, the conspiracy is, you know, I'm here for the conspiracies. She is disappeared. Like, she has disappeared. She's no longer here, not in the sense of, like, having passed. I don't think so. But it's just quite interesting how she hasn't shown face since her surgery. So she had abdominal surgery not too long ago. And she has yet to appear in the public. Her last public appearance was on Christmas of last year, you guys. So December 25th, Kate last appeared in public on Christmas Day on her way to church on the Royal Sandringham Estate in Norfolk, England. That was her last public appearance. On January 16th, she was admitted to the hospital. She underwent a planned abdominal surgery in a private hospital in London. Kensington Palace wouldn't confirm the surgery until the following day. The following day comes, and two royal medical procedures were revealed. It was said that she successfully underwent an abdominal surgery and that she would remain in the hospital for up to 2 weeks before recovering at home. They declined to disclose any further details of the surgery, but said she was unlikely to return to public duties until after Easter. Okay. Which is interesting because with something like abdominal surgery, it's really much, at least the surgery that I experienced when I had one done abdominally, it was a low impact type of surgery. It's not something that's like super a big deal. And you know, with surgery, anything could happen for sure. But it wasn't this dire, you know, dangerous surgery. She desired to keep the reasons for her surgery a secret And, you know, this is understandable because, you know, not everyone needs to know your business, especially medical business. That's fine. I support that. Which is interesting because her husband, no, not her husband. Who's her husband? River that King Charles? No. Hold on. Anyway, she decided to keep it low key. That's fine. January 28th, a Spanish anchor claims Kate was in a coma. Huh? And I'm saying huh because I just read that she successfully underwent surgery. Okay, so what do you mean? What do you mean that she's in a coma? What do you mean that, you know, that it didn't go well? Okay. That's interesting. And where did this Spanish anchor, her name is Concha Calija, where did she get this information from? So she said verbatim that she was in an induced coma and needed life-saving intervention during a stint on the new show Fiesta. She added that Kate was first hospitalized on December 28th, just days after her last public appearance, and a decision was made to operate. January 29th, Kate is discharged from hospital, allegedly. February 6th, King Charles has cancer. It's revealed that he has cancer. March 4th, first picture of Kate post-op emerges. Now, what's interesting about this picture is allegedly it's not a real picture of her in this moment with her family. It was a Photoshop picture, and professional Photoshoppers confirmed that to be the case. After 2 months out of the public eye, international tabloids, including TMZ, published a single paparazzi picture of Kate in the passenger seat alongside her mother as they drove through Windsor. The grainy image showed Kate with her neck covered up and large dark glass. Okay, that's a different picture I'm talking about. Well, there's another picture that comes out. I think it's probably after this then. That she is with her family and it looks like this happy photo. But come to find out, that picture wasn't true. It was a doctored image. So this picture was a grainy image. She was covered up. She was wearing large dark glasses and her neck was covered. And it made people wonder, was it really Kate or was it her body double? Some people say it may have been Kate's lookalike sister, Pippa. Kate's uncle on March 6th gives a tantalizing clue. Her rogue uncle, Gary Goldsmith, turned up as a contestant on Celebrity Big Brother. Like, what? I feel like it should be in some type of paperwork that says anyone related to the royals should not be on a reality show, especially one that is Celebrity Big Brother. What the heck? So on this show, someone wasted no time in asking him, where's Kate? He says he doesn't want to talk about that. And there's a kind of code of etiquette. He says, if it's announced, I'll give you an opinion. Like, what are you talking about? What is that supposed to mean? Royal watchers immediately wondered what it referred to. But Goldsmith gave no further clues, although he promised she's getting the best care in the world. Is she here? Is it really Kate? She'll be back. Of course she will, end quote. March 10th. Okay, this is the photo I'm talking about. So there's a Mother's Day photo controversy here. Speculation intensifying over Kate's condition and whereabouts. It featured Kate in a photo. And in this photo, she's with her three children and was said to have been taken by William the previous week. The photo, which in accordance with tradition, was subsequently passed to official news agencies for syndication. See, they wanted to push out this photo to make it seem like she's all good. Stop worrying about it. Don't even, she's good. She's in good hands. Look at her. She's smiling. Mother's Day. Ha ha. But it quickly spiraled into a royal scandal after suspicious social media users spotted a number of discrepancies in the image. So four photo agencies soon sent out a kill notice on the photo, accusing the royals of digital manipulation. So even photo agencies are calling this out to be false. Like, we are being manipulated digitally. That's wild. I've never heard of that ever happening. So after that, Kate decided to go on, was it Twitter or X? Excuse me. She decided to go on and say, quote, "I do occasionally experiment with editing." Girl, what? Princess of Wales. You go on Adobe and what? You don't have a team? It just made no sense. What are you talking about? Girl, this is not Kate. Kate is not here anymore. She is a clone. She is a clone, child. This is crazy. So she says that. Okay, bet. March 11th. She says this on March 11th. She says also, quote, "Like many amateur photographers, I do occasionally experiment with editing." Girl, since when were you an amateur photographer? "I wanted to express my apologies for any confusion with the family. No, for any confusion the family photograph we shared yesterday caused. I hope everyone celebrating had a very happy Mother's Day." See how they were trying to suppress us from thinking further on this? So, hey, let me give out this statement. I just been fooling around with Adobe photos. With Adobe. With Getty Images. I'm sorry, what? March 13th, Andy Cohen gets into this and he says, "Where's Kate?" No, he says verbatim, "What the fuck is going on with Kate Middleton?" Which is an interesting question to ask. And this is an interesting quote. This comedian named John Oliver, he's a British comedian, so maybe he knows more than we do. Huh. He says, quote, "There is a non-zero chance she died 18 months ago. They might be Weekend at Bernie's this situation." And y'all know the movie. Remember that the little boy, 16-year-old, I guess he had a neighbor or his boss? I used to watch the movie like so many times back, like when I was a kid, when it would show when it would play it on, I think it came on like on TNT or something like that. And it was always on during the weekend. So I would always watch it. It's a good movie, cute movie. Shout out to Sarah Jessica Parker's husband. I forgot his name right now. But anyway, that's it. That's my report. That's my report of this case. Where is Kate Middleton? Is she here? Is she not? You know, is she well? I don't know. But we'll find out if anything. Matthew Broderick. I'm trying to look it up. Hold on. I'm like, I know his name. Yeah, Matthew Broderick played the main character in that movie. Wait. No, he didn't. Oh my gosh, I'm thinking of Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I'm sorry, y'all. That's the movie I used to watch a lot. I watched Weekend at Bernie's a few times too, but it was Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That's what I'm talking about. Look at me messing it up. Ah! Okay, yeah. So anyway, Kate is missing. I hope all is well. I don't know what's going on, But it seems like another Jamie Foxx situation. Are we going to get a clone? But, you know, God bless. Joe Rogan had a guest on his podcast just a month ago. I think even 2 months ago, max, of this year. Okay? Who came on with another gentleman. And they were talking about prison reform. Josh Dubin is the one in charge of this prison reform organization that he created called, what is it called? Innocence Project, I believe. But he is a complete advocate for criminal justice reform, prison reform, that whole jazz. And in theory, this is a very rewarding career. You know, this is something that you are doing for the well-being of others, for making sure others are getting the just due that they deserve. And basically, for those who may not know, it's a project in which you are helping those who were wrongfully incarcerated, you're helping them to get the justice that they deserve. You're helping them to get out of prison and not have to complete that sentence that they were charged with. You're also aiding those with who have been recently released from prison. You're aiding them in their reacclimation to society. So this is an ongoing thing. It's a whole journey, because obviously someone who's been incarcerated for 30 years and they're coming into this world with such high-tech technology, with such new advances, it's a lot to learn. It's a lot to keep up with. And you may find yourself feeling out of touch or like you don't belong, because I don't know what's happening, right? All in all, it's a great thing that he is doing. But what comes as an issue is he had this man named Sheldon Johnson. Sheldon Johnson is a black man who was recently found accused and arrested after a head was found in his freezer. He is accused of decapitating and dismembering another man's body. Okay? Prior to this, let's talk about who he is some more. So prior to this, he served time, I think about 25 years, for a string of armed robberies. Afterwards, he became an advocate for criminal justice reform. So he actually went to prison in 82 or 86, around then, and just last year or the year prior, got released. And he's been an advocate for criminal justice reform ever since. He has made several media appearances, including the Joe Rogan Experience. And we all know the Joe Rogan Experience is a large platform with millions of views every episode, not just one episode or one every other month. No, this is a consistent thing with him. He is 48 years old, and he was charged with murder, manslaughter, and criminal possession of a weapon, according to the NYPD, and was arrested after a severed head was found in a freezer. While conducting a wellness check in the victim's apartment, police found the man's torso with the legs attached. Authorities and sources said Colin Small, who is the man that is deceased, 44 years old, was pronounced dead at the scene. Very disturbing, right? Obviously very disturbing. And the reason why he is accused and arrested for this is there is surveillance footage of Sheldon Johnson leaving and returning to this man's apartment carrying a bin. In that bin was the torso and the dismembered parts of the man's body. Prior to that, there was footage of the man, Colin Small, before he passed, before he got murdered. He was in the footage. Like, there was pictures or videos of him walking up into, or like getting off the elevator and going to a door in his apartment, like on the outside, I guess in the hallway area. And there's reports of him pleading for his life against Sheldon Johnson. Allegedly. You gotta say that, right? But I think he did it. I think he did that shit, okay? Because there's also video of Sheldon Johnson getting back to the apartment. This time, he's wearing a blonde wig. Y'all, I kid you not. He is wearing a blonde wig, trying to appear like not himself. Like, what are we doing? Is this your best bet at a disguise? This is your disguise. Okay. So I want to go ahead and just listen. I want you guys to listen to what Sheldon Johnson says about just the prison reform and how he believes those who were incarcerated should be treated, and just the advocacy.
You don't want somebody to go into the prison system
that he has for it. So let's go ahead and take a listen.
Come out worse.
Right. And which happens
most, right? Of the time. And then we hear about these horrific incidences. Parole board let him out. 2 days later, he pushes somebody into the train tracks, right? This is not what you want. How do you prevent?
So the irony is, he says you don't want a former convict to have been released from prison just to return to his criminal ways, so much so that he pushes a civilian onto a train track, leaving him to be killed from the train, right? You don't want that to happen. And he's like talking about, you don't want these things to happen. And it's like, but you're the very thing that is happening that you're saying you don't want to happen.
These things from happening, right? By being proactive, by being responsive instead of being reactive. Don't wait for something to happen.
Like, what? You're that. You are that. It's actually so, it's like, it's quite terrifying if I must say so myself. It's quite terrifying, but let's continue. There's so much more that he says, and I wonder if Joe will take down this episode, but I mean, it's not Joe Rogan's fault, right? Like, it's not his fault that this man did what he did. It's not. So I get the clickbait of, and I may even use a clickbait for the title on YouTube for this episode. So it's a business, okay? But it's not his fault. And it's not Josh Dubin's fault either. This is a Josh Rubin. That's a totally different guy. Josh Dubin's actually doing good. Josh Rubin is the one who's letting Meek Mill get fucked in the ass for clout. Anyway, so Josh Dubin, I don't think he should be held responsible, and I don't think this should necessarily change people. I don't know if everyone is for prison reform, but I feel like this should not be the point of a drastic shift from fighting for prison reform. I do think prison reform is still necessary, obviously. And of course, nothing is perfect. You will have people come out of prison and still go back to their ways. That is just the way the cookies crumble. That is just the statistics. Whew, that word whips my ass every time. I'm glad I said it right. Like, we all know someone. I know someone who can't help himself but go back to prison. Like, then, do you want to be outside? Do you want freedom? Like, no? Okay. It's wild, but it's just, you can't. Anyway, I don't want to talk about that too much, but the point is, in this situation, I feel it is disturbing. It's quite alarming, but this is like, I mean, damn, he didn't have to Dahmer it, right? He didn't have to put a pull of Jeffrey Dahmer. But he's not the only one. He's not the only man who has been released from prison after a lengthy sentence and still decided to do some fuck shit. And this is beyond fuck shit. But what I'm saying is, there, don't let this taint you from fighting for the lives of incarcerated folks who have been incarcerated on a false pretense. That's the point that I'm trying to make here. Sheldon Johnson, though, put him under the jail. Like, he deserves to be under, like, in the cave or something. Because that's disturbing. And I do believe he did that shit. Because there's a video of him saying, I'm innocent, I'm innocent. And it's like, okay, why were you wearing that blonde wig, though? But okay, let's play this.
Something. You're in jail.
Yes.
These guys figure. So
this is the clip of him, or Josh Dubin, is talking first about why was Sheldon Johnson in prison initially. Like, what were the charges? What was he accused of? And just the context with that.
You're in jail. F*** it, we're not going to pay him.
Yeah, I'm not going to pay him.
And then the case that you were arrested for got dismissed.
Got dismissed. Right, I got acquitted.
So then you come home.
So then I come home and, you know, I need my money. You know, I gave you something. And we had an understanding that you were going to pay me. And when I came home, when I finally located this particular individual, he had his girlfriend with him.
So I'll continue in a moment. But he brings us to, so he was initially in prison for something else. I think something similar. Because as I read earlier, he got busted for a string of robberies, yada, yada, yada. So he's making the time for that. He's released. He still wants to avenge a person who owed him money. Money! And I think he tells us, because I watched this before, it was like $2,500. And look, $2,500, even now, I'm grateful for it, right? I'm grateful for anything. But $2,500 in the 80s, that probably was $7,000 today. No. That probably was $7,000 then. You know, like the equivalence of just the currency of it all. The point is, it sounds so silly though. It sounds so silly to then continue to risk your freedom yet again because you wanted your money back. And yeah, this man did you dirty by not paying you back. And it's like, okay, you get into this. Let me just play it.
And this guy owed me $5,000. And when I saw him, he had a bunch of jewelry on. He was with his girlfriend. She had a bunch of jewelry on. And I said, hey, man.
Okay, yeah. So he owed $5,000.
Where's my money at? Oh, yo, I was going to pay you. And I took his jewelry. And his...
So it's like the audacity. But I think, I guess in a man's head, I'm not a man, right? But in a man, with all that testosterone, a man doesn't do well with being robbed, with being disrespected. And someone owing you money, I think in a man's head is just so, like, we can't just, like, they can't just, I'm not a man. They can't just get over it, right? And I'm not saying he should have gotten over it necessarily, or me being a woman, I wouldn't be upset by that. Of course I'll be upset, but I feel like, what was he, like, my thing is, I just try to think very rationally in some cases, because I feel like, what was supposed to happen? Did he expect him to just have $5,000 flat somewhere in his house? So when he knocked on that door, the man was gonna just hand him the $5,000. You know what I mean? Like, do people just have money just laying out like that? Shout out to Fonnie Willis. She does. You know, side note, there's this cash saving binder that is something that people have been using apparently to save money, like to like meet different financial goals. And I'm all about figuring out more ways to be financially wise and yada, yada, yada. And there's this is a binder that gives you like the amount to save, whether it's weekly or daily, and you'll put the cash amount in that little pocket. It's so cute. So I found it on Amazon. It's on my Amazon cart. So yeah, I'm gonna buy it soon. But anyway, side note, shout out to TikTok. TikTok has been teaching me so much. And I just love the aesthetic. The aesthetic of like someone just like lifestyle stuff. Okay, back to Sheldon. So Sheldon decides to pay this man a visit. And again, my point is, how do you rationalize just going to someone's house and like, where's my money? Because if the man didn't have your money, like, oh man, I'm sorry, what if he said, oh, I get paid on the 15th, today's the 10th, in 5 days I got you, you know, like, is that not enough? Because that sounds like a reasonable response to me, right? And yes, he's wearing jewelry and looking like he got it, but you don't know if he got it from the money, and maybe he did got it from the money that he owed you, but it just feels like, I don't know. I just don't think that's something that you could easily give the money to right then and there. Like, oh, you talking about the $5,000 I have in my pocket? Oh, let me just give it to you right now. Man, I'm sorry. I was going to give it to you. Like, did you just expect for him to have $5,000 ready, like in cash ready right then and there? I think the instant response for Sheldon to do was to only rob him. You know what I mean? Because I don't know. I hope I'm making sense to y'all.
Girlfriend happened to be there and, unfortunately, she got caught up in the situation. I had a bunch of young guys with me, and they robbed her as well. And he got hit in the head with the gun right here on the side of his head, and he got 2 stitches. And they gave me 25 years for that case.
And what's interesting about that is him saying they give me 25 years for that case, as if he didn't, like, I felt like prior, like, when he led up to that, he was trying to make us understand and, you know, accept his behavior. Like, oh, you know what? I get it. He owes you $5,000. You had to rob him, right? And you had your boys with him, with you. So you had to go into his house and fuck him up and his girl up. Like, of course that had to happen. Like, no, it didn't need to happen. Now, does 25 years sound like a fair sentence? I don't know. I'm not like one to know of how much does this crime cost as far as your life in prison. Like that just sounds so arbitrary to me. But I mean, it's the prison system, so that's just how it is. But to me, it doesn't sound like 25 years is worth that. I consider a 25-year sentence to be worthy of murder, you know, worthy of rape, you know, something that's, those are the top two crimes I could think of that's worthy of 25 years to life. So, you know, there are people in prison who have been given these lengthy sentences, and sure, you may have fucked somebody up, but did he die though? Did he die though? No? Okay. And you know, so, you know what I mean? Like, that's the point that I'm making. Like, he still lived. If he did she still live? And sure, yeah, he robbed them too, but 25 years? Anyway, maybe he should obviously stay longer in prison, because he got out and decided to decapitate and dismember another man, or this man. I'm saying another as if he did it before. No. So I wonder, how much did he owe him? Did he owe him $10,000? And I feel like, shouldn't the lesson be learned by now? Stop giving out your money to people who can't pay you back. If that is something that you really take pride in. Like, you better pay me back or I'm going to kill you. So, like, you know, there are oftentimes people give out money or let people borrow their money. And the person receiving that money is saying, oh, I'll pay you back. Don't worry, I got you, man. You know, I'll pay you back in 3 months. I'll pay you back in a week or so, whatever. But they never do. And it's like, there's a saying that goes, when you give people money, be ready to not receive it. Like, be ready to not get it back, basically. Because you can't necessarily trust that someone will always pay you back. And that's just how it is. Like, be okay with that. Be okay with that. So, I don't know. This man is a menace to society. And he does taint the prison reform movement that Josh Dubin is leading, but I do hope it doesn't taint the supporters of this movement to completely shut out anyone else. I think that's unfair. There's always a bad cookie or, you know, a rotten apple in the bunch. So there we have it. Do I want to talk about Usher visiting Russell Simmons in Bali? I thought it was an interesting photo, a series of photos of Usher vacationing with Russell Simmons. And Russell Simmons have recently relocated, not recent, I guess it's been about 3 or 4 years now, but he quite conveniently moved to Bali amidst his sexual assault allegations from several women. So much so, the woman, this light-skinned black woman, I remember she led the movement and had a documentary based on her experience with Russell Simmons. So this is something that he didn't want to face any further legal ramifications. So instead, he packed up all his shit and moved to Bali. Usher visited him immediately after his Super Bowl performance. He visited Russell Simmons and they had a grand old time taking part in yoga and meditation while relaxing at the Indonesian home of Russell Simmons, who's 66 years old. So you see them smiling, laughing, like sweating out with each other. I mean, what can we say? These are two black men who are well known in the industry, who decided to take on this journey of self and rejuvenation. Just by in it of itself, I can't be mad at that. I understand how the pictures look a little disturbing or cringe because there's an image of them kind of too close to each other, just really relaxing in the heat. I think that's why they look so glowy out, you know, so glowed out. They're in the heat. It's hot as hell. And yoga, there's a specific name, Pikara, something with a P, where it's a very hot style of yoga. So that's just, I don't know, child. That's just how it is. But, you know, God bless. Russell Simmons look like he's at peace. He's smiling really hard. He got some big teeth. To be 66 years old? That's amazing. This is image of Usher with this black man, but he has completely gray hair and it's a little bit of a fro. He looks like someone else from that movie, Atlanta movie guy poses with Usher in Bali. Let's see if it's the same guy. I'm sorry, that bothers me. Is that him? Okay, I don't think it was him. Looks just like him though. All right, well, there we have it. Usher decided to vacation with him with Russell Simmons in Bali. More and more, there have been celebrities who are coming forward saying, yeah, I use Ozempic, and what? And what? There's this Real Housewives star of Salt Lake City. Her name is Heather Gay. Literally, that's her last name. She has opened up about her use of Ozempic. She said verbatim, I've sold out. I've given up the banner of, you know, accept yourself. And it's disappointing and sad to know that body positivity was all a big lie. And she says, it is better not to be overweight. And you know what? I'm gonna just... gonna clap it up for her. I'm clapping it up for her for a number of reasons, but I like the fact that she called out that the body positivity image that we see often in the social media streets is all a big lie. You know, this whole, you know, don't be fat phobic, just that term has been pushed down our throats to make us feel bad for judging or offering fitness tips to someone who is of a particular size, that is of heavier weight. I think with this Lizzo phenomenon, shout out to Lizzo, but with her being in the forefront of the media leading this movement of body positivity, many people who were in that same appearance really believed this is the way to live, or this is the way I should just move forward in my fitness or lack thereof. And it's not to say that everyone needs to be a thin, skinny, twig-like figure. It's not. And it's not to say that I'm support of Ozempic for the primary use of weight loss. What I am in support of healthier living and knocking off weight that is detrimental to our health. So Heather Gay, for example, she said that she decided to just take on Ozempic. And she looks phenomenal. She looks phenomenal. She's not like skinny, like too skinny, but she does look a little bit more put together or structured in a way that has made her feel more confident. And she says also here, quote, I didn't want to show up at another party and see all of my friends 20 pounds thinner and just be resentful. And look, I think I'm opening up to the fact that people need to do certain things to help make them feel better. And hopefully it doesn't lead to a spiral of more things that is on the surface. But I feel like with weight loss, for someone who was overweight, like Heather Gay said about herself and that we've noticed about if you watch Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, I'm not mad at her use. Obviously, this is her body, her choice. So I'm just commenting here. It's a podcast. But I can understand the use of Ozempic for that case, especially since she said herself she's tried different weight loss strategies and tools and diets and lifestyle changes, and it hasn't been consistent. Sometimes it works for some people quickly, and sometimes it takes a while. All in all, your confidence is affected and it makes you feel not as pretty as some of your friends are that are not of that same weight. So her use of Ozempic, it makes sense to me. For a Gabrielle Union, for example, because I recently saw a picture of her and I think she did something to her face. Gabrielle Union looks scary. She looks totally scary. She looks more Asian than she's ever looked, okay? She looks more Asian than she's ever looked. And I just want to understand what's going on with her. her body looks like skin and bones. Okay? There is something up with her. So the easy response to that is, oh, she's probably on Ozempic. But what's weird about that is Gabrielle Union has never been overweight. She's never been fat. So why are you on Ozempic? Like, you know, allegedly, that's what we could assume. But why have you lost so much weight? You know, if you're someone who's already been big boned, then I could understand. But, you know, what's a common look for those who have been forward and straight up about their use of Ozempic is that their body completely thins out and their head looks bigger. It looks like a bobblehead. So for Heather Gay, her body still looks good though. Like, it doesn't look like she's completely, completely skinny like a twig. She has some shape to her, but it's like tucked and put together in a way. So it doesn't look too bad or bad at all. And her head doesn't look too much like a bobblehead. There's a picture of Sharon Osbourne's daughter, Kelly Osbourne. She looks scary. Like, ma'am, what's happening here? Sheena Shea from Vanderpump Rules. Oh, okay. I saw her on the list. She said she denied using Ozempic after recent weight loss. Instead, blamed it on the fallout from, girl, get over it. This whole, you know, I've stopped watching Vanderpump Rules, not because of the whole, you know, being on the bandwagon of going against Sandoval. Actually, I low-key supported Sandoval. Not even low-key, but on X I did. I definitely showed my disdain with the whole hatred put upon him for his affair with Rachel Levis. An affair is used loosely here. He was never married to Ariana. Yes, they lived together and they were together for quite a while, but I ain't got shit to do with her. anyway, their relationship sucked. Sandoval and Ariana. Ariana treated him like crap. Of course he's gonna cheat on you. Like, what are we talking about? Oh, and it was Rachel. And Rachel was this friend Raquel, actually, that's her name on the show. But people have been saying Rachel instead because they didn't want to use the name that she's been using for herself. So it was like a way to kind of slight her. Anyway, I don't want to talk about that show anymore. It just really bothered me how much they went at Sandoval. And I just hated to see him suffer like that. Yeah, he had this relationship and sure, it hurt Ariana, but Ariana was a bitch, okay? Not to say that she deserved it, but to say that you don't understand how he could have done what he did is what makes it that much more infuriating for me as the viewer, because, ma'am, you are a whole asshole to this man. Of course he's cheating on you. Of course. 50 Cent. 50 Cent, he says he hasn't used any sort of weight loss medicine to lose weight, but this nigga look like he's been on Ozempic. His head is such a bobblehead here. Like, anyway, child, I'm gonna go ahead and end it here, you all. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your support. I appreciate it, and I will check in with you all next time. Peace.